There was a cartoon in the New Yorker magazine a few years ago. It says it all and it shows it all. Imagine it. In the middle of the floor is a dried up and withering Christmas tree with an ornament hanging on for dear life. The calendar on the wall behind shows that it is December 26th. Dad is still in his chair and there's an ice pack on his head. Mom is still in her bathrobe. Her hair is in rollers. And on the floor is a mountain. Some of you know what this is like. A mountain of boxes and wrapping paper and bows. A young boy reaches one more time into that stocking that used to be hung from the chimney with care in hopes that a little bit of chocolate would still be in there. Right? In the background, you can see the dining room table. It has not been cleared. There are plates and cups. Half-eaten turkey is on the table. And the caption under the cartoon reads, "The day after." Can anybody relate? Well, it's not the day after. It's the fourth day after. And if you're like many, then Christmas is mostly a memory. Several years ago, when Susie and I lived in Paragould, we were a couple of days after Christmas going to Parks Belk there to shop for a sale or whatever. And we found this guy who was leaning up against his car. When we got near him, he said, "Christmas is over. Yahoo!" We smiled and kept walking, and I wanted to engage him in a theological discussion about how Christmas is not over, but I thought he's probably not in a good frame of mind for me to do that today. Christmas is not over. For many, the decorations are down, packed away. They are at our house. If not, they will be before too very much longer, before the calendar changes to 25, probably. I saw a Facebook meme the other night. Did anybody see it? There's a man who is sitting on a couch. His wife is putting up Christmas. Are y'all with me? The clock says Christmas Day, 7:27 p.m. Did anybody want to do that? Maybe you did. The days before Christmas are filled with so much hustle and bustle. Some are glad it's over. Some wish it would last forever. Some have been let down by it all. I understand that there is something right after Christmas that is called, therapists call it the Christmas slump. I don't know if there's any truth to that, but it may be. I heard of a church that had a misprint in their worship bulletin. The song was supposed to read, "I hear the Christmas bells on Christmas Day." You know that song, choir? Yeah. Except there was a misprint. It says, "I hear the Christmas bells on Christmas Day." That'll put you in a slump. I don't know how it is for you, but I like the calm days after Christmas and before the new year. There's not much on the church calendar. In fact, our office is closed. Can I ask today, how is it that Christmas leaves us so quickly? Wasn't it just the other night that the angels were singing, the shepherds were watching their flock, making their way to the manger scene where they found a young mother who was full of fear and frightened and a baby whose birth had just happened? How does Christmas leave us so quickly? Now, there are not many stories in our Bibles that include baby Jesus. You have one of him being born. You have one when he is about a month old, which is our lesson for today. We have the story of the wise men, which we looked at last week. Some say he may have been 2 years old by the time they arrived. You have the story of Jesus being 12 years old, and then Jesus is 30 years old and being baptized by his cousin in the River Jordan. Luke tells us that the Holy Family made their way to the temple in Jerusalem when Jesus was about a month old. What Luke is doing here is bringing together two religious observances. Both tell us that Mary and Joseph took their religion seriously, right? One of those observances would have been that Mary would have been able to worship again. She would have been ruled ritually clean again so that she could worship in the temple. The second was a symbolic act of dedicating their firstborn son to God and his service. Are y'all with me? Dedicating their firstborn son to God and his service, Jesus. Little did they know how much so. The second observance went way back to a time of remembering when God spared the lives of sons on the day of Passover. See how all the Bible fits together? It's really interesting to me. So Mary and Joseph go to the temple in Jerusalem and begin to walk up the steps. I can imagine that among those at the temple that day was an old man named Simeon. Simeon, our lesson tells us that Simeon was both religious and devout. God also says that the Spirit had revealed to him that he would not die before he saw the Spirit's Messiah. Right, choir? Right? And also, the Bible tells us that the Spirit led Simeon to the temple that day. Here's how I can imagine it happening. Simeon is down there at the bottom of the steps. He's looking in everybody's faces. He's looking in everybody's eyes. And he's wondering, could that be the Lord's Messiah? So in walk Mary and Joseph. Mary is holding Jesus in her arms, don't you know? He's a month old. She's holding in his arm, and Simeon says something like this, "Can I hold your baby?" Now, in today's world, that would be, "I don't think so." But it was at the church, right? I mean, it was at the church. And so Mary hands over Jesus after looking at Joseph, and Simeon pulls back the blanket, and he sees the eyes of Jesus, and he hands back the baby, and he starts to sing. Now, there's a lot of singing in the Christmas story, right? Right? The angels sing, Mary sing, and now Simeon sings. He sings a song that goes like this. "Now, Lord, you can let me, your servant, die in peace. With my own eyes, I have seen your salvation, which you have prepared for all people. It's a light for non-Jewish people to see and an honor for your people, Israel, to see." You see, friends, Jesus has come. The Messiah has come. That's why Simeon sings that song. And incredible as it is, the Messiah is right there in front of Simeon. And I think we ought to just stop right there. Right, choir? Stop right there, have the benediction, and go home. How many times in Scripture do I wish that a story stopped and we could have a benediction and go home? But there's more to this story. You remember? Simeon says, "This child is set for the rise and fall of many." Mary must have thought, "That's not what Gabriel told me. Gabriel said that of his kingdom there would be no end. What are you talking about for the rise and fall of many?" Gabriel hadn't said that. While Mary and Joseph are trying to take all that in, Simeon says one more thing. He says to Mary, "And a sword will pierce your soul too." And if I were Mary, I would have said, Gabriel didn't say anything about a sword piercing my soul. What starts out being a nice little baby dedication service ends up being a story that sends us forward 33 years to the cross of Jesus Christ. In flashing moment before her eyes, Mary sees the whole story. Now, there's a painting that the artist, I wish I could show it to you. You can Google it if you like, that William Holman Hunt painted called The Shadow of Death. It took him 3 years to finish it. He finished it after his second trip to the Holy Land. In it, Jesus is working in his carpentry shop. At the end of a long day, he does what we might do. He stretches like this. Behind him is a tool rack so that when Jesus stretches like this, the shadow cast on it makes Jesus looking like he is on the cross. For some reason, the artist puts Mary in that picture. She looks back at the wall and she sees what looks like Jesus on the cross. And there on the floor in front of them are the treasure chests that were brought by the wise men. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Maybe in the back of her mind is what Simeon had said. One day a soul will pierce your soul too. And from that moment on, the cross was in front of her. Are y'all with me? And the cross is in front of us too. Amen? Someone asked me a few weeks back, if you had to choose Christmas or Easter, which would you choose? Think about that for a moment. If you had to choose Christmas or Easter, which would you choose? If you chose Christmas, you wouldn't get Easter. If you chose Easter, you wouldn't have Christmas. Now, I know you don't have to choose, right? But what would you choose? I love Christmas with its duties and demands and lights and celebrations and calm nights and the sound of a baby crying. But Easter reminds us that Jesus did not just come down to hang out with us for 30 years, 33 years. He came to save us. Jesus came, as John puts it, so that those who believe in him might have eternal life. If I had to choose, I'd probably choose Easter. Jesus sure does grow up fast, doesn't he? But I'm glad he does, for he has come to save us from all the things that we need saving from, including ourselves. And today, we take the first step towards the cross with him. Can you imagine it? There you are in the temple, Simeon and Anna. And then walks Jesus in the arms of his mother. And she pulls back the blanket and she sees the face of God. He sees the face of God. If you want to see the face of God, then you look for Jesus everywhere, because he's everywhere.